somebody is knocking at the door of 79 Wistful Vista, the home of Fibber McGee and Molly.
Hey, Molly. Hey, there's somebody at the door with a package.
How do you know it's somebody with a package?
Well, he knocked. If he had his hands free, he'd ring the bell.
If he had his hands free to knock, he's got his hands free to ring the bell.
Oh, not necessarily. You can knock with your feet or your knees, but did you ever try to ring a doorbell with...
Oh, for goodness sakes, I'll get it.
Okay.
Who is this the residence of?
Never end a sentence with a proposition. And if you must know, this is the house that Mr. and Mrs. McGee live in.
What do you got, Bud?
Package for Mrs. Fibber McGee. Sign here, please.
Oh, a package for me? Oh, who's it from?
That lady will forever remain a mystery with me, as I am only an individual which has been entrusted by the parcel delivery company to lay this precious boy...
I'm her husband.
Leave us not delve into the strange ways of women, comrade. Sign here, please.
I'll sign for it. There you are.
Thanks, madam.
And if you'll take my advice, you untavern Duffy, you'll keep a civil tongue in your face.
Please strain yourself, mister. Was I consigned with a future in the profession of parcel delivery, I would eagerly drink in your poils of wisdom. But inasmuch as soever that I am tomorrow morning being induced into the armed forces, you may button your kisser.
Fresh mug. Fresh guy. If it wasn't that I didn't want to maim a future second lieutenant, I'd have parted his nose with a knuckle.
I wonder who this package is from. I don't remember ordering anything.
Well, one way to find out would be to open it up.
Heavenly days, flowers. Oh, and what a lovely bouquet. Oh, McGee, you sweet, thoughtful man. Give Mother a kiss.
I can't.
You can't? Why not?
Well, it'd be under false pretenses. I didn't send those flowers.
You did?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they were delivered by mistake. I hope.
Well, I'll see if there's a card in the box. Mm-hmm. Ho-ho!
What's it say?
It says, please think of me. Signed, Ralph.
Ralph? Who the Sam Hill is Ralph?
Ralph. Now, let me see. There was a Ralph Onslager in my geometry class. But... No, he has 8 children and is married.
Well, what Ralph is this? I want to know. I'm not going to have every anonymous Ralph in the country sending my wife flowers. By George, I'm going to...
Well, hello there, Molly, darling. And Fibber, lad.
Hello, Uncle Dennis.
Hello, Uncle Dennis.
And what might you be celebrating this fine day with your handsome bunch of flowers and all, and McGee standing there with a silly expression on his puss? May them as loves cats forgive the loose use of the term, howsomever.
Well, I seem to have received these flowers from an anonymous admirer.
Yeah, well, he'll be anonymous till I catch up with him. Then he can easily be identified by his broken neck.
Well, now, isn't it a romantic thing? It reminds me of what happened to an old friend of mine by the name of Six Joseph O'Fegney, who was always trying to pick up a couple of bucks.
What did you say his name was?
Six Joseph O'Fegney. Well, sir, it seems...
Hey, you mean his first name was Six?
It was that. It seems they didn't know what to name him when he was born, so they wrote several names on pieces of paper, and they put them in a hat. And his father, unfortunately, drew out the label. Oh, yes. His real name is 6 7/8 Joseph O'Fegney. His father being a small-headed man.
Now, look, Uncle Dennis, do you know anybody by the name of Ralph who would be sending me flowers?
Oh, my course, la. Anyone named Ralph who knew you would be wanting to send you flowers because you're the sweetest and loveliest.
Oh, lay off of that mush, will you? Ever since you made that trip back to Ireland and kissed the Blarney Stone, you spread it on with a towel.
She was marrying an ostrich.
She was marrying a what?
An ostrich. Fella from Austria.
Oh. Now, you don't mean an ostrich, Uncle Dennis.
Oh, I don't.
Why, certainly not. A guy from Austria is an Austin.
Oh.
No, McGee, an Austin is a little automobile.
I thought that was a bantam.
Oh, no. Oh, lad, I can correct you there. A bantam is a lad who drops chandeliers on people's heads in a theater.
Huh?
Yeah, did you see the bantam of the opera? I took care of that one, didn't I?
The bantam of the opera.
Yeah.
No, Uncle Dennis. No, that's phantom, you mean.
That means a spirit or
sure,
a ghost.
Sure, sure.
Oh, well, fancy that now. My own little sister marrying a ghost. I thought he was a little thin, but nary a chain did he rattle nor a groan in the night. 'Twas a dirty trick he played on the girl, not telling her he was dead. Making her think he was a lad of spirit when all the time he was just the spirit of a lad. Oh, faith, begorra, bejabbers, whirra, 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 and other alleged Irish expressions.
Stage Irishman. All he needs is a clay pipe, a shamrock in his hat band, and two friends named Pat and Mike.
Never mind him, McGee. Look at these beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
Oh, aren't they lovely?
Yeah.
And to think of me having an unknown admirer.
Don't worry. He'll become known when I lay my hands on him. He'll become known as Rattling Ralph, the rat with the retractable ribs.
Why, sweetheart, I do believe you're jealous.
Jealous my clavicle. It's merely that I got no use for a hothouse Casanova that... Hey, you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to call a private detective and have these flowers traced. Hello, operator. Give me the J. Edgar Hooper Detective Agency. It's across the street from that hot dog stand, huh? No. The hot dog stand. Huh? H-O-T-D-O-G. Is that you, Mert?
Oh, dear.
How's every little thing, Mert? What say, Mert? You did? Oh, got word that he's definitely going to run again this year, huh?
Is that official, McGee?
I think so. Well, I always said he'd run again, Mert. They got too much invested in him now to let him quit now.
Why, McGee, that's hard.
I'll never forget the time I saw him, Mert. It was the first time he'd won. Ah, what a hero. Standing there with his hair rippling in the breeze, eyes flashing, whinnying like...
Whinnying? Who are you talking about?
Whirlaway. Mert says he's going to run again this year. What say, Mert? Oh, okay, I'll call later. By George, I'm going to find out who this Ralph is and why...
Billy Mills and the orchestra playing Thou Swell.
Put my heart in
beside
them. Oh,
Molly, please, I wish you wouldn't sing it. Gee whiz, here I am, seeing my home being busted up, my wife getting flowers from other guys, and I guess I'm just a failure.
Oh, don't talk like that, dearie.
Well, gee whiz.
Heavenly days, you make me sound like I'd been hooping around town waving a pocket flask and dancing on tabletops.
Well, gee whiz.
I didn't ask this Ralph person to send me flowers.
Well, gee whiz. Something must have given the idea he could get away with it. You know the old saying, never go around with a married woman unless you can go five rounds with her husband.
Yes, but nobody's going around with me but you. I'm very happy. Can I help it if a perfect stranger sends me flowers?
Well, no, but my guy's a perfect...
Oh, here's Alice Darling McGee. Hello, Alice.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, FM.
Hello, A.D. And I don't mean antediluvian.
What's antediluvian?
I don't know. That's why I don't mean it.
Jeepers, get a load of the flowers. Oh, you're lucky, Ducky, to have a man who loves you enough after all these years to send you $15 worth of flowers.
Nobody doesn't.
Why, I do, too.
Well, I mean, of course, that McGee didn't send these flowers.
Well, I would have if I'd have thought of it. My gosh, just because some homewrecker with more money than sense comes
to... Oh, you don't think it shows good sense to send me flowers?
Why,
now.
Sure it does. I didn't mean that. I mean, he's got no right to send flowers to married women.
Oh, but who sent them to you, Mrs. McGee?
Ralph.
Ralph?
Yeah. They were sent as a dying request from one of my wife's admirers, Alice.
What makes you think he's dying?
If I catch him, I'll guarantee it.
Well, you mean you don't know who Ralph is?
Well, no. Do you?
Oh, I thought simply everybody knew about Ralph. He's always sending flowers to somebody.
Oh, he is he? Okay, Alice, give me the lowdown. Who is Ralph and what part of town does he crawl around in? When I get through with him, his own mother won't know him.
Oh, well, I guess I'd better not tell you. On account, I hate to think of such pretty flowers causing any trouble. I love flowers. I even wrote a poem about flowers when I was in school.
Oh, did you, dear? How did it go?
Oh, just fine.
She means, can you remember it?
Oh, of course. It was, I'm simply wild about flowers. I think all blossoms are dandy. But my favorite flowers for boys to bring me is candy. Gee, I wish Ralph would send me some flowers sometime.
So, this Ralph sends flowers to lots of women, does he? That's disgusting.
Oh, McGee, now you're acting like a jealous schoolboy.
I never know such a thing. I'm acting like any self-respecting married man that his wife gets flowers from strangers. By George, if they don't, hey, where are you going?
I'm going to put these flowers in the vase. Have you seen the big blue one that Aunt Sarah gave us three Christmases ago?
Oh, that cheap little hunk of bric-a-brac.
Listen now, that's a very pretty vase, and I happen to know that Aunt Sarah paid a great deal for it.
Well, she took an awful rookin' then, if she did. Cheapest grade of glass I ever saw. My gosh, you can't even use it to crack a walnut with. Without it falling into a million pieces.
Fibber McGee, did you break that beautiful...
Well,
hello, folks.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior.
Well, Molly, you look like a June bride, standing there with your arms full of flowers. Which reminds me, I think I'll send my wife a bouquet.
Oh, that's a nice thought, Mr. Wilcox. I'm sure she'll love it. I know I would.
What she's trying to say, Junior, is that I didn't send her those flowers.
Who did?
We don't know.
The card just says, please think of me, and was signed Ralph.
Oh, Ralph. Oh, him.
Do you know them?
You know who they... Doggone it, Wilcox. Tell me who he is and how big.
Well, let me tell you how I know him, pal.
Yeah?
You see, I have another friend who has an attractive wife, too.
Oh, thanks for the two.
And one day, while I was visiting them, you know, just sitting around the house talking, how Johnson's wax is so wonderful, particularly in the wintertime. Because with the changes in temperature and humidity, the wax protection does so much to keep furniture and woodwork and floors in good shape.
That's what you're just sitting around talking about, huh? Just casual conversation.
Yeah.
Small talk.
Yeah.
Trivialities.
That's it.
You know, Molly, I've often seen those ads in the magazines where a lot of people are sitting around in evening clothes talking about how Charlie is so much happier now that he started wearing neat neck, snug, fast, jolly collar shirts. I never believed people did that. But to think of spending an evening with Wilcox. Oh, murder.
I think Mr. Wilcox could make Johnson's wax a very interesting subject.
Well, I can talk about other things.
You can?
Why, certainly. I also discuss subjects like economics.
Oh.
And I can prove how much money you can save over a period of years by using Johnson's wax on luggage, lampshades, windowsills, and enamel surfaces. Because with that protection, they look well and last so much longer.
You see, McGee?
I retract, Junior. You can change the subject.
Why, certainly.
You can go right from how Johnson's wax saves your furniture, boom, right into how Johnson's wax saves your woodwork. Baby, what a conversationalist.
Yes, but how about this Ralph, Mr. Wilcox?
Who?
Ralph, the guy that sent the married woman the flowers while you were just sitting around fascinating everybody with your sparkling dialogue.
Oh, yeah. Well, there we were, just talking.
Yes, we know about that.
And suddenly, the bell rings.
Door, fire, school, Swiss, alarm clock, church, or telephone?
Door.
Oh.
Well, it was a messenger with flowers. Beautiful, too. Had a card in them from Ralph.
Well, get to it, Wilcox. Get to it. Who is Ralph?
I've been trying to tell you, pal. He's the guy who keeps sending married women flowers.
Oh, sure.
I'll run over and ask these friends of mine if they ever found out who it was. I'll call you back.
I wonder if I would be unfair to Mr. Wilcox if I sometimes suspected he only comes in here to deliver a message about that. Oh, I'm just being silly.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. He's just... Doggone it, Molly, I wish you'd stop burying your face in those flowers. You're enjoying them altogether too much.
Now, look, sweetheart, the flowers don't know who sent them. When I start burying my face in Ralph's manly shoulder, you'll have something to...
Don't talk like that. And if I ever lay my hands on that home-wrecking hyena, he won't have any shoulders. I'll tear him off so fast he'll have to go through life shrugging his hips.
Well, I'm sure it won't matter to me, dearie. He has a nice taste in flowers, and that's all I know about him. Now, I got to get these in some water, too, before they wilt.
Ah, there goes a good kid. She don't get all fluttery and giddy just because some patsy sends her a couple of petunias. Why, shucks, I wouldn't... Oh, boy, I hope that's Ralph in person. I'll hide the body under the coal pile till spring. I hope he's a small man. We haven't got much coal. Come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh. Oh, hi, little girl.
Gee, what smells so good in here? Smells like flowers.
Yeah, probably my after-shaving lotion, sis.
Must be pretty strong stuff, mister. You haven't shaved since yesterday, I betcha.
I have, too. My beard grows fast. Have to shave twice a day, unusually.
Yeah? Who do you shave the second time, the cat?
Now, don't you get impudent, sis. You know, if I'd talked to my elders like that when I was your age, they'd have given me to the Indians.
What Indians?
What do you mean, what Indians? Indians, they were all around us where we lived.
Oh?
Out there in Arizona. I was practically brought up as a Sioux Indian. For years, my legs were all out of shape from riding horses bareback.
Gee, honest?
Yes, sir.
I always thought you were knock-kneed.
Man, that's because I gripped those ponies so hard with my knees. The minute I got off a horse, my knees would spring together. Ping! Had so much strength in my legs, I could crack coconuts with my knees.
Oh,
yes, sir, I was quite a lad, sis. I had a little bow and arrow, and by the time I was 7, I could keep 9 arrows in the air at one time.
Gee, honest?
Yep.
What'd you do, tie a string around them and toss them up, huh?
Okay, scoff if you want to. But those days of the Old West won't come again, sis.
No?
And you'll be sorry you didn't listen to one who was there. You know what happened when I was 9 years old?
Sure. Sitting Bull stood up and you fell off his lap.
No, sir. When I was 9 years old, my pappy gave me a handful of bullets, a rifle, a skinning knife, 3 pounds of flour, a side of bacon.
Which side?
Right side. That's all that was left. And he gave me a pony. Then he slaps me on the shoulder and says, "Okay, son, get out into the world. You're getting to be a burden on my family."
You were 9 years old, Ann?
Not quite 9. 8 years and 10 months, to be exact. So I leaps onto my pony and sat there till evening.
Why?
Because I wanted to ride away into the sunset. Nothing dramatic about leaving home at high noon. And there we went, a boy and his pony, facing every kind of danger with high hopes and a stout heart.
Gee, where'd you go, mister? Where'd you?
Well, search me, sis. Nobody ever saw a hide nor hair of us again.
Oh.
So now, if you'll excuse me,
hey,
sis,
mister,
I got...
Hey,
huh?
Did a man come here with some flowers?
Yes, he did.
Who are they from?
Aren't you being just a trifle nosy, sis?
Sure.
Thanks. They were from a guy named Ralph.
Oh, boy, I win a nickel. I win a nickel. I win.
Hey, wait, what's the idea? How'd you win a nickel?
Willie Toops and I saw the man bring the package, and I bet him a nickel Ralph was sending Mrs. McGee some flowers. Hey, Willie, I win. You owe me a nickel, Willie. It was Ralph.
Hey, wait a minute. What the... Who... Don't... Doggone it, does everybody know Ralph but me?
The King's Men sing Don't Touch It.
When I was just a tiny tot down in Tennessee, I kept Mammy on the spot,
looking after me. I'd fool with this and fool with that, messing round about.
And when I'd grab my pappy's hat,
Mammy dear would shout, don't touch it, better leave it alone, don't touch it. Hey, hey, you'll catch it when pappy gets home, if you don't mind what I say. Pappy missed his Sunday hat down in Tennessee. He'd fuss and cuss and cuss and start to look for me. Then pretty soon I'd have a date in the old woodshed. And with remorse I'd meditate on what my mammy said. Don't touch it. Can't you leave it alone? Don't touch it. Nay, nay, you'll catch it. As sure as you're born, if you don't mind what I say. One day I went with Pappy downtown to buy a shoe.
He said it was good for any man
to have a sip of brew. But when he went to take a nip, we heard an awful roar.
We turned around and there was Mammy
shouting through the door. Don't touch it. Can't you leave it alone? Don't touch it. Nay, nay, you'll catch it.
Uh-oh.
As sure as you're born, if you don't mind what I say.
How happy were those childhood days
down in Tennessee.
The dear old-fashioned country ways
still appeal to me.
I'd gladly be a boy again to mess around about. I'd step on Pappy's derby just to hear my mammy shout. Don't touch it. Better leave it alone. Don't touch it. Hey, hey, you'll catch it. When Pappy gets home, if you don't mind what I say.
McGee, these flowers fill three big vases. Don't they look beautiful?
I think they're gaudy and overdone. And in terrible taste.
I love to see you jealous, McGee.
I'm not jealous. I'm merely a... Hey, what'd you do to your hair?
Oh, I just tried combing it a different way. You like it?
Yes, I... Hey, are you wearing your new dress?
What? Oh, yes. I just thought I'd slip it on to see how it went with the new hairdo.
Oh, Molly, I don't like this. My gosh, some stranger sends you a handful of silly asters and you go all coquettish. Fix your hair all different and wear new clothes.
Now, don't be silly. Though I will admit it's stimulating to get such a gorgeous bouquet. Mm. Say, McGee, the next time we're in Kramer's drugstore, remind me to try that new shade of lipstick.
Hmm?
I think they call it person to person.
That's disgusting. Person to person. Oh, come in.
Oh, hello, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, Molly. Hello, McGee.
What do you want, Aerosmith?
Himself is in a bad mood today, Doctor.
If I ever come over here and find him in a good mood, I'll bake you a cake. What's griping you, my boy? Draft board reclassify you LH2?
What's LH?
Level-headed. Flat on top.
Never mind the wisecracks, Doctor. When a guy's home is being broken up, a guy don't feel like swapping banter with guys.
Oh, now, McGee, you foolish boy.
He's foolish, all right, but he's no boy. Stop running your hands through your hair, beanbag. Get your chin off your solar plexus and tell the old family physician your troubles.
It's Ralph.
Ralph who?
We don't know.
Oh, fine. What has Ralph been doing, writing limericks on your sidewalk?
He's been sending my wife flowers. That's what he's been doing. And if I ever lay my dukes on
him... Oh, that Ralph.
What's that? You mean you know who it is?
You too? Does everybody know this guy but me?
And me.
You mean you don't know who Ralph is?
I know who he will be. He'll be the guy they find floating down the river with every bone in his body broken by a blunt instrument named Fibber McGee.
But, Doctor, tell us now, who is he?
What time is it?
4:12. Why?
I can answer your question in 2 minutes.
2 minutes, but how?
You'll answer it right now, or by George, I'll pin your ears so far back, you'll have to add 3 feet to your stethoscope.
Don't get ambitious, my flabby little friend. If I didn't know you were upset about this thing, I'd hang a shanty on your eye that would solve the housing problem for the next 100 years.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Why, you overbearing, body-wrecking, supercharging, Pulse pinching.
What time is it? What time is it?
4:14.
Well, turn on the radio.
Huh? What for?
Turn it on!
Oh, okay. Turn on the radio.
All right, dearie.
I don't know what you think you're
going to... Now, be quiet, McGee. Listen.
Our great pleasure to announce that the lucky winner today is Mrs. Fibber McGee of 79 Wistful Vista. As you know, every Tuesday, some lucky lady receives a gorgeous bouquet of blossoms from Ralph, the friendly florist. Remember, friends, when you think of flowers, think of Ralph. And now we present Bing Sinatra in a transcribed...
Catch on?
Oh, this is...
ridiculous.
Even in normal peace times, when there isn't a labor shortage, nobody likes to do unnecessary work. I'm sure that's one of the reasons why you'll find Johnson's self-polishing glow coat on the kitchen shelves of so many homes across the country. Glow coat saves you work every week. In fact, keeping your kitchen and other linoleum floors clean and sparkling is no longer one of those chores you run away from. Glow coat needs no rubbing or buffing. You simply apply and let dry, and in 20 minutes your floors are gleaming again. Spilled things are wiped up in a jiffy. And scrubbing, which is very hard on linoleum, is eliminated. That helps explain why Glow Coat makes linoleum last 6 to 10 times longer, in addition to keeping its colors fresh and new-looking. Yes, if you're not using Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat, it's time you tried it.
Well, McGee, are you still angry with Ralph?
No. Just a publicity stunt, I guess. Matter of fact, I heard he's going into the Navy tomorrow.
Oh,
yes? Yeah, I thought I'd run downtown and wish him bonsoir.
Wish him what? What's that?
Bonsoir. That's French for happy landing, sir.
Oh, no, dear. You mean bon voyage.
Oh. And what does bonsoir mean?
Good night.
Huh? Oh, good night.
Good night, all.
The character of Uncle Dennis heard on this program was played by Ransom Sherman. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.